At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Tick, 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 tick. Boom. Yes, peeps. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, my favorite podcast, everybody's favorite social media show and beautiful podcast. It's Meltdown Monday, peeps, and you know what that means. We're going to be taking a nice little trip over to the AZ into the bomb shelter as I tag up with my finest tag team partner in the land. He's a three-time world tag team champion and one hell of a legend. Ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to take a tour into Paris, I give to you the iconic Brian Clark.
Thank you, Tomcat. And ladies and gentlemen, do not be missing on this guy right here. He is a three-time UK host of the year and a Guinness World Record holder. And he is my tag team partner as usual. Tomcat, thank you for that phenomenal intro. I know that you just came back from a big time vacation with the family. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about that.
It was good, man. We went into our very first ever beach holiday. So we're usually the Disney family. So we hit up Orlando as much as we possibly can. Next time we go there, we're going to be getting a little bit cold as we hit up Ray Lloyd, our friend Glacier. We're going to go and see him in Orlando. However, this year we took a little bit of a swerve from it. I'm looking at it from a basis that the kids are growing up and how many more summers have I got with my son who's 15? So we thought, okay, let's do a beach holiday. So we went to Turkey, a beautiful place called Side, to a gorgeous five-star resort and just enjoyed the sun and the palm trees. And the cocktails were flowing. And the only thing that that bar missed was its very own Nature Boy, because everything else was lit. It was awesome. Yes, yeah, so we had the best week. The weather was in the 40s every single day. And just having that sort of sand underneath your toes and being able to set my daughter into the sea that she's never done before to experience the waves was gorgeous. And yeah, so it was all thumbs up from us. And as a family, we had a time to have a little bit of a chill, a little bit of a relax. And that's what you need, because sometimes in our industry, burnout is a very, very real thing. And if you aren't in the entertainment industry, it's really difficult to describe it, because you go from stage to stage to stage to stage. And within my industry, it's like starting a new job every single day. So it's not like you can have a day off. You can skirt by on one day. It doesn't happen in our industry. You've got to be on it every single minute, because like live TV and just like the Meltdown, you've only got one chance to get it right. So yes, it's been great, mate. It's been awesome. So I'm now completely regenerated. We revamped. We have come back. We are all sitting pretty in autumnal mode, because as my daughter told me this morning, we're now entering the burr months. Yes, the autumn and winter months have begun, which means that my wife has been decorating. For those of you checking us out on YouTube, you'll be able to see that the autumn leaves have made an appearance, as has the Halloween attire. Oh, we are feeling snuggly. So yeah, it's been great, mate. So tell us what you've been up to.
You know, we're always cooking in Arizona. What is it? Mm-hmm. We'll hit 100 today. So I did my Michael Phelps impersonation this morning. I went to the pool. I did 14 laps.
Whoa!
I was cooking, man. I'll tell you, it was good. Refreshing, especially it was probably around 8 a.m. that I took the dive in. and the wife and I went for a morning swim. So it was good, man. Staying busy all week, getting my workouts in, getting my cardio in, getting the ice plunge in, and of course, pro wrestling and WWE everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's a chance to consume some pro wrestling. And so that's sort of what we did last night. And even right now, as my phone is blowing up, the show is going on right now, the Monday night show. So a lot of WWE action everywhere.
It is everywhere. And what's really, really beautiful to hear is that both of us have been living our lives on the positive side. So we have been looking after our mental health, we have been keeping up with our well-being, and we are keeping on the sunny side of the road. It's what we like here on the Meltdown. Well, we're going to take a trip from the sunny side of the road to jump in a Boeing 747, and we are going to land in Gear Paris as the WWE presented Clash in Paris. It only happened last night. We are recording this fresh so we can come at you with our very own Clash in Paris review. And what a night it was for a PLE that lasted just shy of 4 hours with an incredible attendance. Check out these numbers, Brian. 30,343 in the Paris La Défense Arena. What a number, right? That is massive.
I had no idea that it would be that big. I was thinking 15, 20 at the max. I had no idea that they would draw 30,000, which is great. I mean, that just shows. And then the interaction with the crowd and everybody on the card from the opening to the finish, they were with it. And I love to see that. It makes everything so much easier on the talent.
It was hot to trot. It was definitely reminiscent of some of the big stadium shows that we have seen in Europe. I always look back and base everything on SummerSlam 92. And I know it wasn't on the same scale in terms of numbers, but by Lord, that crowd were on fire last night. Very reminiscent of soccer shows. For our American Canadian fans, and we do get our stats. We know where you're listening from. Soccer over there, football over here. They were coming up with some incredible chants as we'll get through the show because there were a few that I noticed that Netflix didn't pick up on, and it really made me laugh because they were like, "Is this real? Can we air this? Are we all right to get past the watershed with this?" Very fun. But yes, one of the big features that I did like for Clash in Paris, the WWE presented last night, the 31st of August, the final day in August before we hit September hard, was the introduction, the reintroduction of a grandly intricate set, which was really nice. They had the Eiffel Tower front and center, big screens on either side. I felt that there was so much effort that went into that, and it really it got a big tick from the Tomcat here in Manchester. I thought the effort was put in. It was really reminiscent of some of the sets from the WWF and WCW back in the 90s. I'm sure you'll remember some of those awesome sets that we used.
I do, and like you said, I could tell, you could see, and I could tell of the effort that they put into that, including, like you said, the Eiffel Tower. It was all lit up from top to bottom, two massive screens on each side, so it looked like I wouldn't say a WrestleMania, but it looked like a big event. It was much bigger than I expected.
It was special, and I think that's what it
Yeah,
really needed to be.
that's
If you're
surprising.
putting on these international shows, and you're going to get crowds that are going to be spending money because the ticket prices were dollar. They were big. They were big. And they've just announced another European tour leading into the Royal Rumble, which is interesting. I don't think they've done a European tour leading into the Rumble before. So that's going to be quite compelling to find out how well they do with that straight after Christmas. But I'm sure everything works for a reason. They will have the cogs turning, and there will be quite a few WWE tickets sat in people's stockings on the 25th of December. You see, it all works.
Yeah, that's a great tie-in. Think about it. Hey, you need a Christmas present? Well, guess who's coming to town? Boom. There you go.
That's it. Santa Bommy's coming to town. Make sure you get all your merchandise at Pro Wrestling Tees and Title Run Toys. We're all about that. Get your brand new figures in now. And they've just announced as well, seeing as we're on that topic, their Series 2. And there's some big names coming at you, including some Meltdown alumni in there. I did notice that the Wild Man was going to be making an appearance. Mr. Mark Marrow has been announced for Series 2, which is going to be epic. And we've got some more guests that we are possibly lining up that we're going to bring to you. Tell us, who else is in Series 2? Do you remember?
The Beverly Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a great team of the early 90s. They were managed by Bobby Heenan. Both great guys, Mike and Wayne, really a lot of talent. They started in AWA, WWF, and then into WCW. Mike Enos was ended up being a single. I think Mike had a back injury, so he did not follow him into WCW. But again, really underrated tag team, I felt. And I enjoyed, I like their look. I like a lot. There's a lot that could have been done with those two. But yeah, I would love to have one of those guys or both of those guys on this show that they could really enlighten some people who are have questions about the history of the early 90s. And working with Bobby Heenan, I mean, that's automatic gold.
Automatic goal from the AWA. Bobby is just such a fountain of information and fun that we want to hear all the road stories. It was wonderful to see them paired with him back in the AWA, and also from the WWF days there where they were paired with the genius Lanny Poffo. So we've got all the stories about the Macho Man as well, which is going to be amazing to hear. They took the world by storm, and from a toy collecting basis, they were always the Hasbros that never happened. So I know that Cardona and Myers are rubbing their hands together at the beautiful feeling of having themselves a little Beverly Brothers fest. So, yes, that is going to be epic, and Title Run Toys are bringing them to you. Once again, also announced, we've had Mark Marrow, we've had Mike McGurk, who's going to be a brilliant acquisition as well. I think they're going to do her in a chase form as well, so you get two different versions of Mike. There's been so many that have been announced. I think I saw Harley Race as well.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. You're right. It was Harley Race, but I don't know how far advanced they are. Series two, three, four. Some big time talent, big time names coming up. I can tell you that. And they're doing a great job with promoting it and nothing but great reviews from the actual figure once they get it in hand. Speaking of those figures, I will have some in September. I'll have some with me in November. I'll have some with me in December. We'll get all to that later on down the line. We're going to let everybody know what's happening with upcoming events. But Title Run Toys is your hot spot for new Series 1 and coming up Series 2 figures. So make sure you get them now.
Excellent. Now, make sure you check out the end of the show where Brian is going to divulge exactly where you can visit in the world to see him live in person. Check out the end of the show. Now, speaking of the show, let's get back to it because this is the Clash in Paris wrap-up show. We are going to give our opinions as to what we saw on the screen. And to kick things off with the most intricate and beautiful set, it was a match I had been looking forward to. It was two mammoth human beings as Bronson Reed took on the OTC one, Roman Reigns. The crowd was hot, and as we divulged at the top of the show, there were a few different chants that were coming out of Paris that Netflix didn't notice when they censored, including a massive FU Bronson chant that, with a little French accent, got past their censors, which, yeah, tickled me pink. But I felt this was a massive opportunity to elevate Bronson. What were your opinions of the match?
Well, as soon as Roman walked out, I noticed right away, because when you're a body guy and you combine that great look and being athletic enough to go with it, that's a winning combination. And to me, he looked as good as he's looked. I don't know, even maybe I dare say better looked physically than he did at Mania. I mean, he was shredded. He looked great. His shoulders looked great. He just was looked he looked the part, no doubt about it. And then of course, Big Bronson Reed, another monster who I follow him on a few social media platforms and we chit chat back and forth and always just always good positive vibes from him. I'm glad to see that he had this opportunity to go one-on-one with Roman and it delivered. I really enjoyed it.
One of the major stats that I took away from last night is that Roman Reigns has only actually competed in 4 matches in 2025. That really solidifies to me how bright his star actually is, because he is still on the tip of everybody's tongue. He is still one of the biggest merchandise sellers in the whole of the WWE. His chants are echoing through every arena, no matter where they take the show on the road. And he just has that presence like not many others. So more power out to the OTC. And yes, the Meltdown acknowledges you, Roman. Effective storytelling, I did notice, that really elevated Bronson Reed without actually giving him the W. What did you think of the post show? The aftermatch?
Yeah, well, that really it makes you forget about the win loss part of the match itself, and the beatdown that Roman got laid on him. I mean, he yeah, they really blasted him, and part of the storyline, which makes sense. I like the tie-in. I like that Breaker came in and helped beat him down, and then the tsunamis one after another. But my question to that whole scenario is now. He endured all of that. So, I mean, how long will this keep Roman out? How long will he be out from that vicious after match attack? So he's got to sell it. He's got to stay out for, in my opinion, I think he should stay out a little bit. But then maybe that goes back to what you said earlier about appearing only 4 times so far. But how long can you milk that as far as come back, injury kind of thing, selling an injury. So we'll see. I don't know, but I do think he has to sell it because if not, then it means nothing.
Absolutely. It's worthless if he doesn't, because the exactly what they put him through was very reminiscent of old school storytelling where they were writing a character off TV for a long period of time. So I would be surprised if we saw him before the build up to the Survivor Series. He would be a wonderful reveal as an opposition to Seth Rollins and the Visions team, adding in Roman as the final entrant to come and get his heat back, as it were, come and beat the bullies at their own game inside the War Games cage. So you've heard it here first. There's my Nostradamus prediction world. Let's see if that happens. Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. That was a question that I was going to ask you, actually. If with the view that they're going to build to Seth and Bronson and Braun and whoever else that they put into the mix to go into War Games against a face team, if you were working on a basis of five, you've got your three there. Who else would you think that they would like to add to that mix?
Tough question, but this next match or it leads into at least an idea. I was thinking that I see a split with the Street Profits, and I think maybe one of those guys could possibly go with them. Just depends on how much they want to elevate the, bringing in someone into that fold. But that is a possibility if they do split. Maybe
I
it's
think
just.
that'd be a nice, I think that'd be a nice investment
Oh,
in
yeah.
your characters to have that, because that would certainly shoot either Angelo or
Hawkins.
Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford into the
Montez,
stratosphere. So yeah, the definitely got the ability to do that just from that one little twist.
And
So
you
speaking of the Street Profits, we're gonna
matches.
even kill.
And you've got matches in between those two groups if he breaks off and goes with other guys. So ton of ways to go with it.
And both phenomenal talents. And we hope that it's not going to be the situation where it's a Sean and Marty. I do want to see them elevate both, even if they separate brands. That might be the ideal thing to do. Give them fresh characters. And as one of our wonderful friends says, yes, give them a paint coat of fresh. Yes, what it's all about. So, Street Profits and Wyatt Six. Have the Wyatts lived up to the hype?
Oh, tough shoes to fill, no doubt about it. I example this match with the Street Profits versus Wyatts. I didn't see the chemistry there. I know they were all working hard. I could see that everybody was working hard, and maybe it's just my point of view, but I just don't seem, it doesn't seem like it's over like it should be. I understand with the lights and everybody does the phone gimmick and around the stadium, that looks great. Visually, it all looks great. But I'm just surprised that they are tag team champions. It just doesn't seem like it fits. I don't know if even a group like that, I don't even know if they need titles. You know, they don't need it. It almost takes, if they have the belts, it almost takes away from the group, if that makes any sense. It should be more, if you're going with the Mystique and the ominous type characters, which they all are, I don't know. It's such huge shoes to fill. So I don't know. I understand the whole Bray connection. I just don't know if that ship has sailed. And I hate to say that because I don't want to be raining down on the parade. It's, I don't know. Just not, I'm personally just not feeling it.
No, I completely echo those sentiments. And going back to what you were saying about the mystique of the character, I think by them having the titles, it makes them feel more real, as it were, like reality-based. Well, you've got horror characters there. They don't need to be injected into a reality-based story. They should just live off the kooky, the weird, the strange, the comings and goings, the mass onslaughts every now and again. If you could take it back to their initial debut when the camera was panned and there was lots of dry ice and everybody was decimated backstage and it looked like Chad Gable had been shot through the head at close range. Yeah, exactly. It was so well done and everybody was terrified of the Wyatts. And now they're on pay-per-view against the Street Profits. It's just gone.
And as the tag team champs, like it takes away from the group. I think they're a group that they don't need gold. Some teams and even different talent throughout the years is, you don't always need a championship. You don't always need a title on certain characters, you know, and they're
1,000%, 1,000%. Well, let's see where they go from here. Well, speaking of titles, our next match was another title match as it pitted the WWE Women's Intercontinental Champion Becky Lynch against the returning Hall of Famer Nikki Bella. Now, I'm going to let you take this one, brother. I'm going to sit back a little bit myself and let's see where we roll on this one.
Okay. In my opinion, when I was watching, I could see that Becky completely carried this match. Nikki Bella looked great. Physically, she looked great. Probably, and she's actually looked like she may have even lost 5 or 10 pounds. And not that she needed to, but my point is that I know she's working out. You can tell she's training hard. But there was either a lack of chemistry or either a lack of ring time. Because in certain spots, it looked a little sloppy. And that's something where I think that her, like I said, her ring conditioning was on point. No doubt about it. She never looked blown up. She never looked tired during the entire match. From start to finish, she did not look winded at all. But there were some spots that she looked rusty. And I think that that's one of those things where you got to find a ring and you got to get the ring work in because conditioning is, that's just part of it. You know, the look, the conditioning part of it, but the ring work is a whole different animal. So you got to have both.
Definitely, it's got to work hand in hand to make sure that the cogs on that machine are oiled and working in sync with each other. And again, just echoing your sentiments, I felt that things were off just a little bit. Perhaps that progresses as she gets more and more ring time. It was an instant promotion for her, as it were, to be thrust back into that spotlight straight onto a PLE after only being back for a couple of weeks. And that might not have been her fault. That might have been something that was in the line, in the works, from a storytelling basis, from the writers and from the management. They wanted to bring her back. They can obviously see the dollar signs in their eyes when it comes to a Nikki Bella appearance. But for me, I feel that, and chatting off air, we both had the same sort of sentiment. Get her back on the road, get her working it, and build to something a little bit more. And we'll come to at the end of the show. We'll talk a little bit about the Becky Lynch promo that led into this show from Birmingham, England, where she dropped a little line about Ozzy Osbourne that didn't sit too well with Kelly. Well, speaking of ring rust, there was no ring rust on these two boys, as it was big men slapping meat in the good old-fashioned Donnybrook. I can't believe they called it a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. That was so campy, so weird. But by God, did these boys go hell for leather in the Donnybrook no-holds-barred, as Sheamus took on the returning Rusev. And I felt that they needed to get Rusev on a PLE after his return straight after Mania. The investment, again, has been made there since his time in AEW. And thank goodness, because I think that his star can shine really brightly. He's got a great look. He's got a mystique about his own persona. And I think he can carry a great, great match. And he did that with Sheamus. Really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, I did too. It was good, hard hitting, which is I expected it to be, nothing less than that. And it was a no DQ match, of course, so anything goes. I really loved when they actually had the bar at ringside, and then also they did the double bump off the whiskey barrels. You anything goes, kendo sticks, the works. So that was all a great build up. And as Michael Cole was saying, that they would definitely be feeling the effects of that match, definitely today, tomorrow, probably the next week.
I bet.
But I was a little surprised that Rusev went over, and to have Sheamus actually tap out. I was a little surprised by that, because I didn't know. I'm not sure how high they're going to elevate Rusev. I think he could go higher. But I just right now I can't really tell what they're going to do with it,
I
and
feel,
I love Sheamus. I love Sheamus as a guy who can help promote the company, and be a good brand ambassador. I think he's got that type of quality about him. I see him doing a lot of work with ESPN and different companies around that are tied in with WWE. But I think, hard to say how high they're going to elevate Rusev.
it is a difficult one right now. He's as I've just sort of alluded to in the opening of this particular match. They are shining a star on him, which is good. They're putting a spotlight on him bit by bit by bit by bit. I just hope that they don't sort of hit him with a glass ceiling that is an Intercontinental or a United States, because as we've seen in the past, it was really difficult for him to break through that. I hope they just completely skirt past that and put him into a situation where he is very, very prominent, thrusting him into a world heavyweight title situation. I think that would be great for Rusev. For Sheamus, can you believe that he's been with the company like over 15 years now?
He's been so durable. He's a guy they can always count on. He's had a few injuries through, his career, but again, he's always looked good. Very rarely does he actually come in like not in shape. And he works hard, and he's just got a lot of great qualities about him. I've always liked his character and everything. He's been what, champion 4 times, if I'm not mistaken, 4 times with the big strap. And so I don't know if he'll be really surprised if he could ever get to that level again. But again, that goes back to me saying that him being an ambassador for WWE and just the brand, he's a good guy to have out in the social media world.
I liked the way that he taps at the end. I thought that just enhanced it a little bit. Sheamus doesn't need this victory, but Rusev does. From a layman, from someone sat on a couch over in good old rainy Manchester, I looked at that and went, yes, that is the way that that match should have gone because they didn't hold back. No holds were barred, including an actual bar and a spot that I cringed at as he went through it. And I was like, oh, his head! Ah! And it was great. They worked it really, really well. And I hope both of them aren't eking too much today. Have you been in that situation? You worked gimmick matches before. You've worked with weapons before. You've worked with all sorts of different plunder, as it will. What were your impressions of working with different items, different objects, and different gimmick matches?
You just sort of got to know what you're working with and who you're working with and make sure you feel safe and comfortable with the person that's swinging the cane or that's swinging the chair. You always, if you're smart about it, you always talk to the guy, of course. And, if you had a relationship with that person, you just want to know their history of using those items. I know I always was, I would discuss what we were going to do. It's better to talk it over versus surprises, with a chair shot coming out of nowhere that you didn't expect, or a cane shot, whatever it may be. Because you're going to feel it for days or weeks afterwards, no matter what. So it's best to know what you're getting into and
There
who
you
you're,
go. It came straight from the horse's mouth. They've feeling it for weeks afterwards. So yeah, really interesting. I really enjoyed that match. Hard hitting, fun, plunder fest. Lots of great visuals that I'm sure we're going to be seeing on WWE TV for a long, long time. That bar shot, that barrel shot. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well, speaking of brilliant, my match of the night came next as the Maverick Logan Paul laced it up with the Unseen 17. You can't see me. Well, Paris certainly did. It was Logan Paul versus John Cena. Talk us through it.
I really like this match also. It was up in my top one or two. Also, I agree with you, Tom. Again, the crowd was so red hot throughout the night, but even more so with this Cena being his last chance for them to see him actually in France. So I loved it. I really thought it was a great job by both guys. John really sold all of Logan's stuff. And so many false finishes going back and forth with the action throughout this entire match. And again, the crowd completely behind Cena the entire way. I mean, they really were red hot for him. And Logan Paul looked great, man. He improves and has improved for a guy who's, they say he's an outsider and he's really not in the business. But you got to give him credit, man. He is a really good athlete and he keeps himself in shape. He looks great. He works hard. I see nothing but bigger things for him.
There were lots of spots in that match that included Cena and Paul pulling in deep into their arsenals, including lots of finishes from past superstars. So we saw Tornado DDTs, reminiscent of our friend Chavo Guerrero. We saw the Styles Clash used. We saw Dolph Ziggler's zigzag. We saw the End of Days by Baron Corbin, who's actually commented on that today. I was just absolutely devastated that we didn't see a meltdown. Maybe someday down the line, before the end of the year, before John wraps up. Mr. Cena, we want to see you snap off a meltdown. Now, speaking of Cena's last match, I'm going to see if we can do a little bit of armchair booking right now. As we progress towards the month of December, and from the way that the rumor mill has been spinning, that December PLE has changed a little bit to become a Saturday night's main event. Is this the right place for John Cena to leave his boots in the ring?
Wow, that's a great question, Tom. Wow, tough one. I think there'll be more eyes on it. for you know, like with the Goldberg match, there was so much media on Bill's last match. I think the same thing could happen with John. I don't, that may be the right way to go about it. I don't know.
It
Hard to say,
could be.
but yeah, it just if they book it as his last, but is it, what is the date on that? Because is it late December?
Yeah, late December, back in
So
63. What a very, sorry, man.
I knew that. I yeah, set you up for that
I've
one.
been
Okay.
goofy, but
So
you did.
is it I do think it's after Christmas, right? I want to
Yes.
say like
I'm going to
27.
check this out while you're
Yeah.
telling us a little bit about it,
Okay.
and I'll set
So
this up for you as well.
yeah, so I'm looking here. I'm thinking, okay, if it is December 27th, you think about it. I mean, everyone is going to be home for the holidays. And of course, NBC, everybody has NBC and has access to NBC. So that could be not just one or two sets of eyes on it, but the entire family could actually watch. And it's seen as been a guy who has been around for the last, what, 20 years or so, 15 at least, plus.
Yeah,
So, I
20.
mean,
What is he on now? He made his debut 2002. Can you believe it
oh,
was
yeah,
that
so,
long ago?
yeah,
It's
I know.
23 years.
So, yeah, so 20 plus year career, and the family could sit around and after they open their presents and they've stuffed their gills, they could watch Cena's retirement match. So, that may be a great idea.
It could be.
Could
So
be.
that's one side of the coin. That's what could happen.
Right.
Seeing as we're playing armchair quarterback right now, I'm going to take a little flip side of the other coin. And being a performer that likes to work on stage, I always build and build and build to the big finish, the conclusion, the end of the night, the grand finale. And what is better than giving someone a grand finale is giving them what they ask for right at the end. One more song. One more song. I can see them
Okay.
chanting for a one more match that we might just get at WrestleMania. So it would tie everything up with a nice big bow as they've been promoting it, 2025 being John's last year. And then the final farewell, the final swan song comes at the Showcase of the Immortals. But you don't use Cena after that Saturday night's main event. No in-ring, no contact, just one final poof at Mania.
So Cena in Vegas.
Cena in Vegas. Sounds like money to me.
I'll see him in Vegas because I'll be there. Okay, we'll see. Who knows? I'm sure I'll be going back to back Vegas trips. So yeah, hey, that's a good idea. I like that. I've heard that mentioned that it's possible that he would do the scenario that you just laid out. So yeah.
So my question to you right now, seeing as we're playing in this fantasy land, is who would you book as Cena's opponent for Saturday night's main event? And if it comes to it, who would you have him face at Mania?
Wow, that's a tough one. I would have
Before
to.
you answer, let me lay this out for you as well. We're only 2 weeks away from ESPN showcasing WrestlePalooza. And the last time we were on PLE prior to the clash, we saw the return of Brock Lesnar. Is it too soon to put the beast in the ring with the champ is here?
Yeah, I would wait. I would wait a little bit on that one.
Yeah,
I
I
think
would too.
definitely it could be in the cards for those two to hook it back up, which already makes sense. They've already sort of started that. But I could see him finishing up with Seth Rollins. I think that is one option. There's a lot of options. Just depends on who he's actually given a rub to, so to speak. And again, if it's at Mania, I mean, you want him to go over and go out strong, I think. You know, it's there's so many options because there's so many guys that the it's so top heavy right now with so much talent, and that's a good thing to have. There's nothing wrong with that. And just think of a match that he could have with AJ Styles. Think about that. I mean, there's so many good matchups that he could have. And he would still make him look really strong.
Love that. My own personal opinion, I'm going to completely and utterly agree with you when it comes to Seth Rollins. However, I can see that at Saturday night's main event. When it comes to WrestleMania, I feel that we could have split two ways, and it really depends on scheduling. You could either have Cody Rhodes putting on a really good show as opposed to what we got this year, which match wasn't too great, but that was down to the storytelling more than their actual in-ring prowess. Or what would make sense would be Cena and Rock final time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as a matter of fact, you just brought that up. I was looking through some of my social media pages, and he's dropped a lot of weight. I noticed that I don't know if it's for a movie that he's doing. Could be.
Okay.
But he could put the weight back on. He looks to be at least 15 pounds lighter, almost like when Batista dropped the weight.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. You've been on vacation, which, hey, I don't blame you. Put the phone
What are you
down.
telling me, Brian? What
I'm
are you
telling you
telling
to put.
me?
I'm telling you to put the phone down.
Okay.
Enjoy the beach vacation. Let the waves roll in, my friend. Just relax, brother. Hey, I would too. I would. What a vacation! I'm so glad you took that. If anybody deserves it, you did. Right there, my man.
Thank you, brother. You
Yeah.
see,
Hey.
I heard that in a completely different way than what you actually meant it, which was
Oh
really nice
yeah.
because I heard it that he's 15 pounds was the counter factor, and I've been on vacation. I could do with losing 15 pounds.
No. This was the 15 pounds was directed at The Rock, not you, my friend. No.
Tickled
You,
me pink.
hey,
I
brother,
like it.
no, you deserve that vacation. I'm glad you went. The family, you
Oh.
took the family heads. I got to see some of the photos and the waves crashing in, man. Absolutely epic.
Gorgeous time, man. Gorgeous
Yes.
time. And we can't wait to make the trip across the pond next year, back to Orlando. We're coming back in July. It's going to be great. Family time is the best time. And as we say here on the show, mental health well-being is one of our biggest advocates. We need to make sure that you guys are literally living on the edge of a lightning bolt and enjoying every second because tomorrows are not a given. Make sure you live for today and enjoy every minute. And if you have families, make sure you hold them tight, tell them that you love them every day and enjoy them for everything that they are. Speaking of enjoying everything for what it is, we've round out a wonderful show with a big four-way, fatal four-way for the World Heavyweight title as our champion Seth Rollins without the rest of the division, barred from the building, were Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, and Paul Heyman took a trip in an ambulance after being guillotined by the OTC. So Seth Rollins against Punk, against LA Knight, and against Jey Uso. Now, I had predicted that we would see a heel turn from LA Knight. Didn't happen on the show. Took the loss again. I went down for the count. However, they are currently live on Monday Night Raw. Could happen tonight.
Oh,
I'm keeping it. I'm keeping going. I'm keeping it strong, man. What do you
I'm
think
trying
of the
not to
four-way?
watch. Okay. I'm trying not to watch. I'm not going to get into that. I am, at least for last night, I'm glad that LA Knight did not turn. I think he has so much upside. There's so much going into this match. I mean, Jay was with the rib injury from earlier in the night. Punk had a great crowd reaction. Seth always strong. All four of these guys were over. I mean, and that was a really good one. It went back and forth. There were so many false finishes throughout this match. I think LA Knight really shined. But then again, he's one of my favorites. Again, Rollins, Punk, Jay, always strong, man. It's what I thought it would be. A little surprised at the finish.
Yes, was a
A little.
cluster the right idea to do at the end of this show?
I don't know. I feel like every time you get in a three-way dance or a four-way, it just gets too, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here is,
Too
too
messy for
commodity.
me. It
Too
is.
messy. Yeah. I'd rather have two or three people, just a cleaner looking match. There's just so much confusion. I don't know. I just don't like always having the four-mans. You know, just the four ways are just a little too busy for me, in my opinion.
Completely. And for me as a spectator, I look at it and it seems a little bit too much contrived. So much so is that you'll have two guys fight now in the ring, and then one will get knocked outside, and then you get another one that comes in. And it's too formulaic for me. I feel like there's too much going on, but not enough actually going on inside. I feel like they're just scratching the surface all the time to get to the next spot. It seems very, very spotty when it comes to four ways, and it turns me off a little bit. When it comes to LA Knight, fantastic talent. Do you think that WWE have missed the boat with him? Could they have done more on his initial mega push?
Oh, I think they could have done more. Yes. Have they missed with him so far? I wouldn't say they've missed with him. I still think there's a chance to keep. He hasn't lost anything. I think that he could keep moving up. Like I said, I just like everything about his charisma, his look. He's always in condition. He's a really good worker, does some great stuff. I mean, he can high fly, he can go on the ground. He can do a little bit of it all. So I hope they don't miss the boat on him completely. I hope that they keep pushing the guy, because I know he's, I mean, even if the other side of it is looking at how well does he do in merchandise, he kills it in merchandise. The crowds are very interactive with him at every show. He's not getting booed out of the building. People
No,
love him.
absolutely.
Yeah, people love this guy. So, I mean, hell, he's almost the new Slim Jim guy. I mean, he's that close to being the
That
new Slim
close.
Jim. I mean, he's right there.
How
So
close is he? Is Ooh, that close,
that
brother.
close. Yeah.
Love that.
He's sharing duties with the other Slim Jim stuff with Jay.
Yep.
But yeah, man, I really think I think they can do more with him.
I agree completely. When it comes to a tick list as it pertains to LA Knight, you go in-ring work, tick. Presence, tick. Crowd reaction, tick. Actual physique, tick. Ability on the mic, promos, merchandise, tick, 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 tick. But it just needs something to solidify his place in history. Yeah. Just needs to take him over the edge just a
I
little
agree.
bit. One thing that I did hear over the past 24 hours that I really enjoyed was the comparison between the feud that Seth Rollins and CM Punk have, relating it to the epic rivalry between the Batman and the Joker. And I thought that was really good. You've got one that fights for evil and one that fights for the love of the good. And I always feel that no matter what program that they will go into, there will always be that genesis that they will go back to. That particular story will always work. I can never see these two burying the hatchet, as it were, and becoming teammates or even aligned in any particular way. I always feel that they should keep them completely on the other side of the fence. I really enjoyed that analogy. Now, speaking of Batman, Joker, and Seth and CM, we saw a big reveal at the end of the show as a mystery person entered the ring, laden in a full body balaclava and ka-ching. Becky Lynch took down everybody's favorite voice of the voiceless. What do you think about involving Becky? Was it the right thing to do? It made sense to me.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Once I could see the silhouette and everything, it sort of made me okay, started to tie it in, but at first was not completely sure, but I had a good idea. Yeah, because there's like I think we talked off air about this. There are tie-ins with AJ and Becky, and there's stuff that, you know, with Punk's wife, and of course Becky. There's a lot of ways to go with that also. So yeah, it could work out.
I
It
think
could,
so.
you know, they could work mixed tags. There's a lot of stuff they could do. Just depends
Lots of
on
things they can do. If
yeah.
you look into the mirror from an AEW basis as to Jon Moxley and the Death Riders, They have a female member of their group in Marina Shafir that I really think adds to the presentation of their particular faction. So I think by the Vision adding a superstar, and she is a superstar, she was one of my Mount Rushmores in Becky Lynch. I really think that that does take the group even further. And if they can add one more member, maybe someone like a Montez Ford or an Angelo Dawkins, someone to the mix that is going to skyrocket. Even a Rusev would be a nice sort of
That would be, yeah,
enforcer.
that would be a big step up for him. And then, like you just said, with Becky as the IC champ in that group, that would make a lot of sense. What you just said with Rusev, I didn't think about that, getting him to that next level. That's probably the answer right there.
That would do it, and that would give you the five. So if you get that into going into the Survivor Series, you've got Seth, you've got Bronson, you've got Braun, then you can add in a Rusev as your four, your enforcer with Becky Lynch, which would be a very first time ever that we would have a mixed War Games match against the team of CM Punk and Jey Uso, possibly an LA Knight with a round out figure of a Roman Reigns and a returning AJ Lee. We love to play armchair quarterback, armchair booker, fantasy wrestling specialist here on the Meltdown. I think we've just laid it up for them, Brian.
I don't know. I think you actually laid it up. I didn't quite think of it that way, but it's the Tomcat is always coming out with these last minute miracles, and so who knows? Tom might book it. Hey, booking ain't easy. And Tom, straight off a vacation, what's he do? Comes in and books the next show.
Box the next show. I'm gonna drop Vince Russo a little message and see what
Yep.
he thinks.
Go ahead.
We love Vince. Sending out a big shout. So that rounded out the show. So from Clash in Paris, I'm gonna ask you, Mr. Brian Clark, thumbs
Yes.
up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
It's definitely not a thumbs down. It's either thumbs in the middle or either higher. Just, I mean, again, I'm leaning towards a little to the a little higher, just for the fact that the crowd was so hot. The crowd made it. I'm going to tell you, if that show would have been in the US, I don't think it would have got as well of big pops as that one had. So I would say that if anything, congrats to the fans of France because they made it. I'm being honest. So anybody in France who's listening to the Meltdown right now, I'm putting you over. You guys did it.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much. You honestly took us to the stars with an incredible clash in Paris. Well, before we put a nice big bow on our show this week, a couple of other notable things have happened in the professional world of wrestling. We want to send out a massive congratulations to Naomi and Jimmy Uso announcing their pregnancy. A big round of applause. Sending all our love
Congrats.
from the bomb shelters in AZ and Manchester. Congratulations to you guys. Another interesting feature that we were hearing about in the news is where Chris Jericho is going to end up. Is Chris taking a trip back up to Stamford? Does Chris need to? Would this be a wonderful round out to his career that would end him in the Hall of Fame? What do you think the next logical step would be for Y2J?
Well, I would think that he would want to finish up in WWE and into the Hall of Fame. But then again, it just depends on how well he's getting along and working with Tony Khan, and is there an extension to his contract? That one's going to be a business decision by both companies. What's going to work best? I think it could work in either one. But I would probably say that he sooner or later he's going to end up in WWE, and there's a lot of different things that Chris can do. I mean, he's proving that every single day with his rock career in the business, around the business. He's doing it all, and congrats to him on all of it. Because I love his music. I think he's fantastic. Big Fozzy fan here. Absolutely, yes. So I think he'll end up in WWE sooner than later.
I completely agree. And having been C Fozzy live incredibly talented musician, brilliant front man, can work a crowd like no other. He has got his finger in so many pies when you consider his acting career. Great horror actor, recently appeared in The Terrorizer. Is that the right one? I'm sure it is. It's Art the Clowns film, anyway. Terrifier, the Terrifier, not the Terrorizer. The Terrifier, Terrifier 3. Art the Clown. Brilliant positioning by Chris Jericho in that. Lots of fingers and lots of pies. He doesn't right now need the world of professional wrestling, but if he is going to put a beautiful big bow on a storied career that started in 1992, I believe, with Lance Storm as the Thrill Seekers in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, everybody's favorite. We were talking about that a little bit earlier on, where the Night Stalker stomped his grounds with a giant axe. Incredible times, Brian.
And Kevin Sullivan is my manager. I mean, how could I go wrong with that guy?
What a pairing, right? What a pairing.
Oh man, some bloodbaths in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yes.
Sending all our love out to the Louisville Slugger, Mr. Jim Cornette, and some epic memories of the Night Stalker in Smoky Mountain. Yeah, there's lots going on with Chris, but it would be wonderful because I always, around this time of year, I sit back and I sort of think, who will make a great surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble? Just leave
Wow.
that there. I'll just leave that one right there.
Break the walls down, man.
The place would go banana.
Oh.
You know it. You know it. And they're in Riyadh, aren't they? They're in Saudi Arabia next year.
Think it is, yeah.
That would they'd go crazy because it's he's such a well-known name. He is so identifiable. The crowd would go berserk. Incredible. That's something to think about. Did you manage to catch the Becky Lynch promo from Birmingham, where she dropped a little Ozzy Osbourne?
You'll have to refresh me. I did hear about it. I don't really know the full content of
Okay, now I'll lay it up to you. Very easy question, really. So the promo they were cutting in Birmingham, great, typical heel promo, berating the town, getting all the cheap pops that she could possibly can, and she dropped a little message about the only thing good to come out of Birmingham died last month in Ozzy Osbourne. And Kelly really, really took chagrin to this. She did not like the way that her dad was mentioned in that particular context, referring to his hometown, and it hit the airwaves as a negative, a very big negative. What are your impressions of cutting promos like this when it comes to real people, real situations in real life and using them in a wrestling context?
Well, that one is a little too fresh. I would have stayed away from that personally. I think it's okay to bash people from certain towns, certain parts of the country, certain areas, certain states, whatever the case may be. I think that's okay. But I think there's you've got to be able to draw the line and say, okay, especially with someone who just recently passed, I would have stayed away from that completely. I would have found another way to get my heat.
I
But that's
felt it
just
was a little cheap.
epic. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And from targeting someone who is not in the professional wrestling industry, it's a completely different thing. And it's still a low blow, and it's still somewhere that I don't think they need to go. But even if it was someone that you were in a feud with, and someone had passed away from their family, you could have actually had a conversation with them to say, would you be comfortable with that being written into the promo? At least you're rubber stamping something.
Covering the
But this
bases.
came completely from left field. And yeah, for me watching it, I was like, oh, too soon. Too soon. Teeth gritter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. There's so much that's been going on over the past weeks. What we do want to do is we don't want to bombard you with too many things to think about because there are so many things in the world of professional wrestling to think about. But the one thing that I do want you to think about this particular week is how you are going to get your tickets to some of the most incredible live appearances made not just in the US, but around the world for the legendary Brian Clarke. Tell them all about it, big man. Where can they come and see you?
Let's see. This month, September 27th, I will be in Parsippany, New Jersey. It is a 90s, I want to say it's a Comic Con. I'm going to have all this information on my social media. But the 27th of New Jersey, Parsippany is the city, the town. And then we are waiting on full confirmation, but it is going to happen. I will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let me have a look, see here. On the 1st of November, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That has some good tie-ins there. It's also like a benefit show for, I'll have all the details. I don't want to give it away yet, but there is that is a good benefit cause. And then, of course, we are wrapping up all the details. Dortmund, Germany. That's right. International. You talk about a flight now from Tucson to Dortmund, Germany. Wow. Is that what, 15, 16 hours?
Gotta be right. If your arms get tired, you can always stop off for a brew at our house, mate. It'll always be hot for you.
All right. There you go. So yeah, we're still working on all the details. That's looking really good. I'll keep you guys posted on that. But there are some big time names on that show. And the Comic Cons, they have so many people from film, television. It's a big lineup of a lot of big people, big names that we are going to be talking to. And who knows, they may end up on the Meltdown. I got a big list here of people I need to touch base with in Dortmund. So,
Right here, it's going international. We are taking the world by storm as Brian invades New Jersey, takes a little trip to Minneapolis, and then rounds out his year in good old Deutschland. What a tour that is going to be! So make sure you keep a little track on Brian's socials, my socials, and the Meltdown Official on Instagram, where you'll be able to find all the details to go and see the bomber live and in person. Well, we're going to tie everything up for another beautiful episode of The Meltdown. We are going to be back next week with all your favorite features, whether they be our Mount Rushmores or our Winner Stays On, or some new ideas that I've had that might just involve you. Yes, our listeners. The Meltdown Mailbag is going to be back as well. And we have got one or two incredible guests to drop throughout the course of September. So I'm going to bat it over to Brian to say good night, God bless, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, and au revoir as we get ready to sign off on another week. From here in beautiful Manchester, I am tanned, I am feeling fresh and all autumnal. And just like Eric Bischoff says, if you don't like that, you can bite me. Have a great one. I'm the Tomcat. Tick, tick, tick. Abu.
thank you, Tom. We are glad you are back home and back on our airways, man. I'm glad you had a great vacation with the family. You deserved it. And again, we've got a lot of big things coming up in September, not just the travel that I will be doing, but right here on the Meltdown, got a lot of big names coming your way. Also, do not forget Title Run Toys. Series one is out right now. Series two is going to be massive. Three, four, and five are on the way. TitleRunToys.com. Make sure you check those guys out. Do not forget your Wrath version one and version two. Juventud Guerrera version one, version two. They got it all. Title Run Toys. Meanwhile, we will see you guys next Monday where we do one thing and we do it the best. Breaking necks and cashing checks. See you then.
Boom.